Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast from WNYC Studios. It's Tuesday, April 6th. If you pay attention to national news, especially about money, you probably know that Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen yesterday introduced the Biden administration plan for a global minimum corporate tax. Yellen and Biden are trying to end the age-old game of U.S. corporations pretending they lived, somewhere in the Caribbean or maybe in Ireland or somewhere else, because those countries drop their corporate tax rates so low to attract those businesses. A global minimum corporate tax is in the headlines today. And if you consume national news, especially about money, you probably know that West Virginia Democratic Senator Joe Manchin says he won't vote for any of the tax hikes on corporations or wealthy individuals in the Biden infrastructure bill unless Biden goes a little easier on corporations. Under President Trump, if you don't know this history, the corporate tax got lowered from 35% to 21%. Biden wants to split the difference and raise it back up halfway to 28%. Manchin wants to split that difference and only raise it to 25%. Manchin says he's worried about jobs, but more progressive Democrats wonder why he's protecting wealthy corporations. You know this if you're following national news. But if you follow New York and New Jersey local news, here's the Biden infrastructure bill taxation story. Three House Democrats from our area are threatening to vote no on the infrastructure plan unless it repeals what's known as the SALT deduction cap. The cap is another artifact of Trump. To explain it simply, for those of you who don't know about it, SALT is an acronym for state and local taxes. It used to be that you could deduct all the state and local tax you pay from your federal income taxes. But under Trump, that deduction got capped at $10,000. Problem is, many people in New York and New Jersey pay substantially more than $10,000 a year in state and local taxes, especially if they own a home, because property taxes tend to be so high around here. Many other people pay that much in state and local taxes because they just make a lot of money. While Trump was cutting taxes for most people, let's be clear, he raised them this way for those mostly in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, California, and a few other states that just happened to vote Democratic. And he didn't have to call it a blue state tax, even though it was. It's a blue state tax because this is where property values and local tax rates tend to be high enough that capping the SALT deduction at $10,000 hurts a lot of people in these blue voting states. So hopefully I made this wonky story clear. But one other wrinkle makes it a little more complicated. Some progressives, like Bronx and Queens Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, don't want to go back to the old normal because they say it would be a tax cut for many wealthy people. Why give them a special break when affluent people should be paying more of their fair share in general? So it's a local story as well as a national one on that level too. The three House Democrats who say they'll vote no on infrastructure unless the SALT deduction cap is repealed are Bill Pascrell and Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey, and Tom Suozzi, who represents the North Shore of Long Island and Northeast Queens in New York. And Congressman Suozzi joins me now. Hi, Congressman. Always good to have you on. Welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, thanks so much for having me on. And you explained it very, very well, very clear.
Well, that was going to be my first question. If you had anything to add or correct from my attempt at SALT Tax 101, anything to add or change?
Well, you know, there's a growing number of members of the House of Representatives that are saying that they won't vote for the infrastructure plan unless it includes some reform of the SALT deduction. So it's now, there's up to about eight of us now that have said that. And the bottom line is I support the infrastructure plan. I want it to be big. I want it to be bold. I support President Biden. I was the first member of the House to support him when he first announced his race at 7 in the morning. I endorsed him at 7:30 in the morning. So I love what's happening. But I need to get this issue of SALT addressed. It is an existential issue for us in New York, as well as many other states in the country. People are leaving our state. It's been exacerbated by the pandemic and people working remotely. But the SALT deduction cap is really crushing our state and crushing a lot of people.
What do you hear from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi or whoever would write the actual Biden infrastructure and tax rate bills? Is the repeal of the SALT deduction cap going to be in there?
Well, Senator Schumer is saying that he's very favorably disposed. He wants to get it done. Nancy Pelosi says she's very sympathetic to the cause. She's got a big problem with SALT in her district as well, and she wants to get it done and what she wants to see in the bill. The people that write the bill are the Ways and Means Committee. I'm on the Ways and Means Committee, as is Congressman Pascarell that you mentioned. We're talking with the Ways and Means Committee about how important this is to us. As a matter of fact, there are 11 members of the Ways and Means Committee that sent a letter to the president in the end of February saying we want to talk about SALT. You know, we'll do the American Rescue Plan, but the next thing we do, we got to do SALT. Well, one of the reasons that I made this pledge of no SALT, no deal, the reason I started this whole thing was because we weren't getting much attention. Well, now we're getting attention, and we're going to have a meeting soon to discuss this with the White House.
I saw Speaker Pelosi quoted on Politico referring to you and your two New Jersey colleagues. She said, quote, "I would withhold any comment about whether you're going to vote for or not vote for something until you see what the bill is." Sounds like you're annoying the speaker. Do you care that you're annoying the speaker?
I don't think I'm annoying the speaker. I have a great relationship with the speaker. I support the speaker. But, you know, this is a wrinkle in the ointment. It has to be balanced between all the other concerns that are out there by her, by Senator Schumer, and by President Biden. So I understand that this is not the smooth rollout they wanted. But this is important for my district. This is important for our state. This is important for a lot of blue states. And the one thing I'll disagree with my colleague, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I really respect how effective she's been in changing the course of the conversation in our country, is that this is a progressive issue. States like New York have the lowest uninsured rate for children and adults in the country. We have more people have health insurance in our state than that costs us money. That's why our taxes are high. You know, we're a progressive state. When the federal government was just talking about climate change, we were implementing climate change. We are so productive. We're the biggest net donor to the federal government in New York because we have mass transit. All these things cost a lot of money. We pay our teachers well. We pay our police well. We pay people well. It costs money. So it's progressive to have a state and local tax deduction. That's the reason it was the first deduction in the federal tax code that was set up when the income tax code was first set up in 1913. So it's a very progressive issue to support the state and local tax deduction.
Well, the Politico article says Pelosi and other Democrats like to note that the 2017 tax law's benefits, the Trump law, mostly went to the rich and to corporations, but repealing the SALT cap would also overwhelmingly help the wealthy. Households earning at least seven figures a year would get the majority of the benefits, according to the Joint Committee on Taxation, says Politico. So why shouldn't we see what you're doing as special pleading for some million-dollar income people in your North Shore district when President Biden says the right thing to do is raise taxes on people making $400,000 or more?
Well, one of the ways to pay for the restoration of the SALT deduction is to increase the tax rate on the highest earners from 37 back to 39.6. I'm all for doing that. The bottom line is, though, is this is not just about the individuals. It's about the state. If people move away from New York State because they can afford to move away from New York State and go to Florida and go to Arizona and go to North Carolina and go to South Carolina with their money, then what happens? The rest of us, middle and lower income people, are left behind holding the bag. And what happens to us? Either our taxes go up or our services get cut. So this is an impact on our state. We need those wealthy people and those higher income people and those middle income people to stay here in New York State because we need their revenues so that we can support low rates of uninsured, so we can support climate change projects, so we can support mass transit, so we can support all the different things that make our state expensive to live but improve our quality of life and make us the most productive state in the country, where we're the biggest net donor to the federal government. We send more to the federal government than we get back than any other state in the United States of America.
Let me go back to AOC. Maybe she comes in a potentially constructive way here. As you know, she represents a Queens district, New York Queens district, but yours is much wealthier on average. And she voted against repealing this cap in a 2019 House bill because she sees it as too much of a tax break for the rich. But she told New York One at the time, quote, There are ways to restructure SALT deductions to provide relief to middle-class families, and there are several different SALT repeal bills in the House. With another pass, she said, I think we can get this done right. So that was AOC to New York One in 2019. Could you support a version of a SALT deduction cap repeal that targets relief to middle-class homeowners who just pay ridiculous property taxes, but still to not lower taxes on million-dollar earners who can well afford it and probably made out really well during the pandemic to boot?
You know, I don't want to negotiate it against myself until I meet with the White House, until the Ways and Means Committee has a chance to talk about this some more. I'm pushing for the full repeal, but I could see a phase-in. I could see something happening over a period of years, especially focusing on those people that are making $120,000 a year or $150,000 a year between a husband and wife that are getting crushed. You know, to be in the top 20% of the wage earners in America, you make $150,000 a year approximately. Well, $150,000 a year in New York, in my district, in many parts of New York City, you know, you're not flourishing. If you're making $150,000 in Oklahoma, you know, you're on top of the world. You belong to a country club and you've got a brand new house in a gated community with granite countertops. So, I mean, it's just different in different parts of the country. So a $150,000 person here in New York is a, you know, a teacher and a police officer, and they're not exactly, you know, living the high life. They're making ends meet, and this SALT deduction hit them hard. I texted Alexandria the other day, and I'm going to try and meet with her and discuss this in more detail. I have a few progressives that are really well-known progressives that are very interested in supporting restoration of the SALT deduction. So I'm going to try and persuade her that this is actually good for progressive policies here in New York.
You know, the thing that you just brought up, the cost of living in different parts of the country, came up on yesterday's show when we were talking about various issues like this with Washington Post economics columnist Catherine Rampell. And so you're a good person to ask. Yeah, the cost of living is so much different in general around here than in other parts of the country. And yet the income tax rates are the same. Is it possible, if we're going to talk about reforming taxes, to look at somehow accounting for the cost of living in different places when figuring out what income taxes people pay, not just the pure income, comparing New York to somewhere in Wyoming or something?
You know, academically, it's a great idea, and but it's I just don't see it happening. Based upon the time that I've been in Washington, D.C., I don't see it happening. My predecessor, Steve Israel, used to push for changes in tax law and in way people are paid and contracts for the federal government based upon the cost of living in different areas. And he worked on that for a decade and really couldn't get it to first base. You have to just understand, or we all have to understand, the country is just so different from place to place. And, you know, $75,000, there's 105 million full-time jobs in America, according to the 2016 census. It's different now because of the pandemic, et cetera. But 105 million full-time jobs in 2016. Of those 105 million full-time jobs, 89 million people make less than $75,000 a year. $75,000 a year, you're not doing great around here. $75,000 a year in Iowa or in North Dakota, you're on top of the world. And our colleagues in Washington, D.C. don't really understand that difference from place to place, from region to region. It's a constant educational exercise. So academically, it's a good idea. I just don't see it happening, certainly not in the middle of what we are in now, which is still a crisis.
I'll take our first listener question for you from Twitter. Someone writes, wouldn't the obvious compromise on SALT be a higher cap? So I guess maybe instead of your state and local taxes are only federally tax deductible up to $10,000, maybe it should cap at $20,000 or whatever.
So there are bills out there to do that. There's Lauren Underwood from Illinois has a bill to cap it at $30,000 now, and it would be fix what's called the marriage penalty. So right now it's a cap of $10,000. Well, it should definitely be $20,000 where you have a married couple that are both working, but, you know, or $30,000, 15 and 15, or 50, 25 and 25. And that is an answer to the problem for a lot of people in New York. But we have to understand, we don't want people leaving New York. We don't want those $500,000 a year people, those $1 million a year people, those wealthy people leaving New York because they can no longer deduct their state and local taxes, which is happening. You know, when I was born in 1962, there were 45 members of Congress from New York. Today, there are 27 members of Congress, and it's going down to 26 or 25 with the next census. This has been exacerbated by the cap on the SALT deduction, and by the pandemic, and by people working remotely. If we lose these people in New York, we lose our system. This has been a philosophy of the Heritage Foundation and the conservative think tanks for years. They've wanted to undermine the blue states. They've wanted to undermine the Democratic states because they don't want us doing our progressive policies, because we are the laboratories for democracy. We're leading the way. When they don't do stuff with the federal government, we still do it in New York. We still lead the way. They still do it in California, and they still do it in Illinois and Massachusetts and Michigan and other places. So this is hurting our ability. When they first set up the federal income tax code, this was a major debate because of the fact that we didn't want the long arm of the federal government coming in and stopping state and local governments from doing the policies that they thought were best. They didn't want to hinder them by taking away their tax dollars.
I think we have a SALT story from Patrick in Sussex County. And let me make sure I have your location right, Patrick. You're calling from Sussex County, New Jersey, not Suffolk County, New York, which Congressman Swazi represents, right?
Correct. I'm in New Jersey.
Hi.
So, I'm a single father of two college-age daughters. I pay over $10,000 in property taxes. I work a public employee job making just over $80,000. I'm neither progressive or conservative. You know, I think for myself, but it's killing me. I can't wait to leave New Jersey. As soon as I can retire, I'm out of here.
And would the repeal of the SALT tax deduction cap change that for you?
Well, probably not, because there's so many other taxes, but it would help right now that I'm trying to pay college, you know, and my taxes are over $10,000, so every little bit helps when you're trying to put kids through college.
And Patrick's case is like a lot of people. I mean, this helps them make ends meet. And the other point that Patrick is making is it's just too expensive around here, you know, for a lot of people in New York and New Jersey. And we have to figure out, especially here in New York, how to make ourselves more competitive, how to make ourselves more attractive so that people who go to work every day can actually afford to live here. So that's a big challenge for us. You know, what's going on in the state right now with increasing taxes is going to chase some of the other people out of the state.
Patrick,
so we have to figure out how can we be.
I was just going to say, Patrick is your poster boy, right? Says he's making about $80,000 a year, but his property taxes alone are more than $10,000. And so this deduction matters to him. Patrick, can I ask, since obviously your property taxes are the primary tax burden here, why do you think they're so high? I know this is a perennial issue all over New Jersey, but why do you think they're so high? And is there something wrong with the fact that they're so high that can be fixed?
Well, two-thirds of them go to the schools, roughly. And, you know, I know that there's ideas out there to consolidate school districts. There's more school districts than there are municipalities in New Jersey. And, you know, I'm in a K to eight district that we send the high school students out. But, you know, two-thirds of the money goes to school taxes. And Sussex keeps getting more and more their share taken out. And it's setting to the, you know, Murphy sending to the city schools and, you know, taking more and more. Only two districts in Sussex County got an increase or the stayed the same this year. Every other school district got money taken away from the state by the state.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. Patrick, thank you so much. Please call us again. We really appreciate your story and adding to the conversation.
Thanks,
and Sussex County, for people who don't know, is the county in the northwest corner of New Jersey. Let me go to another caller.
You know, Brian, you
go ahead, Congressman.
Brian, you and I talked about this 15 years ago,
I know.
10 years ago, because we talked about property taxes. I was the county executive in Nassau County. I ran for governor of New York against Elliot Spitzer, got my butt kicked in the Democratic primary. But I fought for the property tax cap in New York State because people like Patrick and other people can't afford for their property taxes to keep on going up every year. So we have a cap now in New York State that's been pretty effective at slowing down the rate of growth. But there were two other recommendations that I made when I lost for governor. A year later, Spitzer appointed me as chairman of the New York State Commission on Property Tax Relief, and Patterson kept me in that job when he took over Spitzer's job. And we wrote a report and said we need to do a property tax cap. We also need to do a circuit breaker, which is that you don't pay above a certain percentage of your income in property taxes. And third is that there needs to be more state aid to our school districts, because the way schools are funded is either through state aid or through property taxes. The more state aid you get, the less your property taxes will be. And I have other recommendations related to all the mandates right. that we have, that we should go back to guidelines instead of mandates.
And you anticipated that I was going to bring up our conversation from 2006 when you were running in the Democratic primary for governor against Eliot Spitzer because of something that's being reported about you and potentially something next year. But as a little tease for the listeners, we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. Let me acknowledge that there are a good number of people calling with similar stories to Patrick's, the caller that we just heard. So there are a lot of people who feel that they're out there in that situation. Middle-class people, not even six-figure earners at all, paying more than $10,000 in property taxes, who really feel ripped off by Trump and the last Congress that passed that cap. But I'm going to take, because our time is limited, I'm going to take a call of pushback from your district. Anne in Great Neck, you're on WNYC with Congressman Tom Suozzi. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Yes.
Long time, first time. So, Congressman, I'm a constituent of yours. I actually feel somewhat differently. I understand the reason why, and I feel very badly for the people who have called in with these terrible stories, but your constituents, for the most part, don't need this. My taxes went up considerably. I can afford to pay it. Most of the people in the North Shore can. This bill is too important to scotch. This bill is going to save this country, and we need that right now. I understand you need to negotiate this, but it is very, very important that we get the $1.9 trillion to do all of the work that is in the bill.
So, Ann, let me clarify your question for the rest of the listeners. I think the congressman gets it, but let me make sure I'm hearing you right. You're saying, if the vote on the whole infrastructure bill is so close in the House that it goes down because Congressman Suozzi won't support it because it doesn't include assault repeal, then, oh my God, what are you doing, Congressman? Is that basically your question?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman.
I mean, the bottom line is that I support the idea of doing a big, bold infrastructure bill. And when you're talking about $2 billion from this first tranche and another, $2 trillion for this first tranche and another $1 trillion or even more, maybe another $2 trillion for the second tranche, and all the money that we're spending here, we can fit into this the $300 billion it will take to restore the SALT deduction. So I've been in politics for a long time, most of my adult life, off and on. I first was the mayor of my hometown of Glen Cove 27 years ago. I want to get this deal done, but I need to look out for my taxpayers, and I need to look out for those people that are making $150,000 a year or $100,000 a year who cannot stay here because they're getting crushed. And I'm happy that you can afford to take this and you're willing to be generous in this and pay more taxes, but there are some people this is existential for them. And I'm going to fight for the people that I represent, and I'll negotiate and I'll get a deal done. There's already been tremendous movement with more members of my caucus joining me in this pledge and saying no SALT, no deal. Very positive words from Senator Schumer, who actually, I introduced a bill to restore the SALT deduction in January. The same day, Senator Schumer introduced a companion bill in the Senate to restore the SALT deduction. Brian noted earlier that Speaker Pelosi has spoken favorably about the SALT deduction. So, Treasury Secretary Yellen and others from the White House are saying they're willing to negotiate. So we're going to get a deal done, and we're going to help the people that we represent.
Are you with Senator Joe Manchin, the centrist West Virginia Democrat who wants to limit the corporate tax hike to a 25% rate, not the 28% that Biden wants?
That's not my fight. My fight is about SALT. I think that the corporate rate has to go up. I think that the rate for the highest earners should go up back to 39.6. It's absurd that they reduced it from 39.6 to 37. The economy was very good at the time, if people remember. It didn't make any sense to reduce the top rate from 39.6 down to 37. So I have no problem with raising the corporate tax rate. I have no problem with raising the individual rate, because if it's at the national level, it doesn't hurt New York. No matter where you go in the country, you're affected the same way. I don't want it to be that it's something that hurts my state specifically, so that we are hurt here while we're subsidizing the rest of the country.
Queens and Long Island Congressman Tom Suozzi, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for giving me so much time.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.